listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
And I had sense enough to know that I had to turn to someone or something that could help me completely and radically change my life, and it was Christ. And I was led into Mission Works in 1991.
Okay, let's go back to the moment of salvation. I don't want to just breeze over this thing here.
No, I don't.
You're this guy, you didn't know the Lord. So what happens? I mean, a lot of people are offended by the name of Jesus. Jesus said, the world hates me because I reveal to them that their deeds are evil. What provoked you to, did you call upon the name of Jesus? Did he appear to you in dream or what?
I did. It was a complete transformation that happened in a home in Lansing, Michigan. I was in a house, a two-story home, with four other drug addicts who was trying to recover.
Okay.
And I had the top floor and a 10-by-10 bedroom, and that's when I gave my life to Christ.
Well, you were top floor, so you were the closest to the Lord, right? On the mountaintop. What provoked you, though? Had you been brought up Christian at all?
Yes,
knew about Jesus?
Yes, I had a very strong...
I didn't even know what Easter was. Nobody taught me anything and didn't know anything.
Yeah, I had a good Christian background.
Well,
both of my parents were followers of the Lord.
Did you go to church as a kid?
All the time.
Okay, so like Billy Graham says, you can go to church and sit in a pew and you get just enough, but you never get it. It's kind of like an inoculation for a flu, right?
That is
so
true.
So there you were. You were sitting in the pew, but you didn't get it.
No.
So it took all this going to the bottom of almost dying from addicted to drugs and alcohol for you to call upon the name of the Lord. So I want to go back to that moment. So how did you call upon the name of the Lord? What was the moment of the conversion that Jesus said, make sure you're born from above?
Amen. Amen.
So what happened?
So that night that I was convicted and the Lord strongly came upon me with this conviction of salvation, I humbly, now everybody had their stories, everybody had their ways of doing it. Mine was getting on my knees and weeping to God for forgiveness. It was a complete conversion. And after the conversion, I would tell any Christian that after they're saved to start making restitutions, get your financial problems and things straightened out. Anything that you ever did harm to anybody, even if it would cost you going to prison, make right. Get yourself right. Get yourself clear before God before you go out.
Unless that would hurt another person.
Exactly.
Because we do have people that have...
I do agree with that.
Yeah.
In a sense, but when my situation was I was so desperate and wanted to change so bad, that's what I did, though it cost me.
So your repentance was... Well, tell me some of the things you... who did you approach and say? You don't have to give names, but what did you... what had you done that you repented of to people?
Derailing trains.
Why? You derailed trains?
Yes, I did.
Did you murder people because of that?
No.
No.
No, not that I know
why
of.
This is a new one. Why in the world would you derail a train?
Because in my my drug mind, is as intoxicated as I was, thought the reasoning was those that I felt were obvious, anything of what I was when I was a child and growing up, to the worst ones that I dealt with, I felt that I would harm them because I had grudges towards those people that owned big businesses, those that, you know, had the authority.
Well, how did these people hurt you?
I don't want to go into that.
Well, you kind of got to. I mean, it's part of the story. I've never heard anybody derailing trains before. And you said there's people in high up in corporations. What do you? You got to tell me. What did you think they did to you?
Well, if I could say this clearly, and I will say it because I agree with our Reformation that's happened in our country today.
Okay.
I am very strongly, and I mean this purposely,
yes, sir,
against the mafia.
Oh, okay.
I was sort of in those rings, and I'm not going into depths or names or nothing.
It's okay. They're all dead now anyway.
It's gone. It's over with.
Yeah.
I'm living a life of freedom. I have a beautiful wife now. I've been married to almost 8 years now. And my forward going on with Mission Works has been accomplished over the last 28 years before I met her has been wonderful. I suggest that anybody that does become a Christian, for one thing, God does not like lazy Christians. If you're a Christian, you claim Christianity, and you are following the Lord, discipline yourself, get yourself into a church, get a group of people, and associate with others in the likeness of your faith. And there's a lot of beliefs out there and a lot of churches out there, but do your best.
Well, the Proverbs, it says, consider the ant, thou sluggard, though it has not an overseer, it works day and night, so it'll have provision in the winter. And, you're right. Of course, God disdains laziness. I have a lazy side. I'm a creative guy. But it does not make for a happier life.
Right.
Laziness
right.
gets in the way. You know, it's kind of like that guy who invests when Jesus told the story of the talents. And remember that story? He gave one guy 5 talents, another guy like
Correct.
2 or 3, then another guy 1. The other guys invested their talents and doubled them or tripled them or whatever. And this one guy said, well, I hid it in my backyard. And God said, thou fool, you know that I wanted to reap where I did not sow, or whatever, anyway, whatever he says, quote unquote. But they ended up, saying, depart from me forever. That's pretty severe. So we have to, plus the most important thing is you said God hates laziness. He does. And you know what? It's kind of like in the scriptures where God says, be thankful in all things. When I was younger, of course, I had this image of a God that was angry. Be thankful in all things. And then I realized later in life, He's saying, no, be thankful in all things, for this Amen. Is the will of God for you. Just like a father would saying,
Absolutely.
You know, if you're sitting there and you're complaining about your peanut butter and jelly sandwich while other people having steak and lobster, you're going to be miserable. But if you're thankful and say, well, there's some people in the world that don't even have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Father, thank you very much this day for this peanut
Amen.
Butter. If you're filled with thankfulness, you're in abundance. And just like the person or the king or the rich person that has too much, and they can have steak and lobster every day, and they don't appreciate anything
Amen.
Because they can have everything. This is the deceitfulness of riches, right? Thinking that, well, anyway, thankfulness is the way to go.
That is.
So you said you would say that, so you had this conversion experience, now you made restitution.
Absolutely.
Did you contact the police involved?
I contacted everyone that
really?
Had any.
Well, did they arrest you or no?
No. They
Why?
Said that there was no record. There was no proof of what I told them.
Oh, so in other words, if you came along and said that, you robbed 10 banks, but because they have people that confess for crimes that they didn't actually do. You know, it's a weird world. But so if you can't prove that you robbed the banks, well, I don't know where you hid the money, but, I mean, you'd have to go dig up the money, I guess, and
Absolutely.
Show it to them.
Absolutely.
And they say, well, we don't have a record of those numbers or those bills. We can't arrest you.
Well, it is
amazing
that I am not in prison today. My last time before a judge in Michigan held up the paper so thick and had a record and waved it like that. It says, Mr. Purchase, you have had previous DUIs over 3 times. We have taken your license 2 times.
Mm.
And the next time you appear in court, you are going to prison. And there's a difference between prison and jail.
Jail is local. Prison is long-term, right?
Absolutely.
With big high towers, machine guns.
Well, in the event of this, I want to, if I can clearly get to the point of some
Yes.
of the experiences in the mission field.
Yes.
I have served in Haiti 3 times on different occasions. I helped set up a mission work to a gentleman
Yeah.
that is formerly from Fort Pierce. Today, long story short, he's the mayor of his town now.
In Haiti?
In Florida, in northern Florida.
Oh, Fort Pierce?
Yeah, he came from Fort Pierce.
Oh, okay.
And he moved up to Bonaparte.
Okay.
Something.
What does this guy have to do with your story?
Because I helped him build his mission in Haiti.
Is he Haitian?
Yes, he's Haitian.
Okay. So I want you to know this that you don't know about me is that I would not be here right now if it wasn't for me going to Haiti. I had had a severe breakup with a young lady. I went to Africa, came back. I was flown into Gerald Durstein's Christian Retreat Center, did a concert. And then this Catholic lady who had 9 children, 8 that were living in her husband said, well, some of us are going to go to Haiti to feed the hungry with new missions. Do you want to come? I said, yes, I'd like to go. I didn't have the money. I did another concert, and some old guy who said he didn't like black people said God had changed his heart, and now he wanted to love black people. And he said, how much do you need? I said, $900. He wrote a check for $900, and I ended up in Haiti. I came back from Haiti. I was with this family. They said, we're going to drive to Vero Beach, Florida, and have dinner with my brother over there. We did, and that's how I found out about Vero Beach. Ended up coming back here, ended up staying here, ended up having a radio show.
Well, my experience with that was that I was formerly a caretaker for a gentleman in Jupiter, and he had PD so bad, dekinesians that were unexplainable.
I don't know what that word means, dekinesians.
That means it's all involuntary muscle control. He had no control.
Say that word again, dekin.
I believe it's dekinesian. Medically, the word, I'm not sure if I'm correct about that.
Yeah,
but it was.
Well, I won't go repeating it anytime too soon, anyway.
But anyways,
matter of fact, in 5 minutes I will forget what Deaconesian said.
I won't. But anyways, he had got to a point where I moved in. When I moved in, he told me directly, "Don't talk to me about God. I'm an atheist, and I don't believe in God."
Now, who's this guy? This is the doctor.
This is a gentleman that I took care of in Jupiter.
Oh.
And I lived in his condo with him for over a year.
You were his assistant, medical assistant, helper?
Help him his breakfast. He wanted to golf avidly every day. It didn't matter if it was rain or whatever. He was a golfer. He wanted to golf all the time. And you put a golf in his hand, he became very normal and knew how to play golf. It was unbelievable as to what this man was.
Was this a rich guy, famous guy?
Yes, very, quite wealthy. His brother, as a matter of fact, was the leader, the CEO of United Nations.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Start Smart Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve Camp of the Cross Church here in